You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. He's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Brethren.
Beautiful. It's good to be back. Monday.
Yeah, good to be back. Beautiful Monday morning. Same corner, same time. We got a lot on the agenda. Baseball, basketball, spring football. Huh?
Recruiting?
Yeah.
All of it.
We back in Europe.
We're back. He lives in Jacksonville now, so Nick won't be able to drop the best player in the country. Don't think he's going to finish as best player in the country, but how's everybody's weekend?
Solid, man. Just dad duty for the most part, track, cheer, SAT drop off and all of that type of stuff, man. So just dad, man. I need some R&R, some free time, some me time type.
SAT is online now? Is that what I heard? Or like you take it on a computer now?
No, she took it at the school. But yeah, it's all digital. No Scantron now. It's all computer stuff. Time, ticker at the top. Daughter said she felt a little anxiety, like she was pressured to get answers done and stuff right away. But we'll get the results soon. She thinks she did well. We'll see.
Good deal.
Took the SAT one time. Got the score we needed. In and out.
What was your score? They said the average person lied by like 30, 40 points. So
there was a setup that was advantageous to some of us at St. Thomas. I think it was at 1600. I think I got an 1150 first time I took it.
Nick didn't enough. Take it. That was the setup he was talking about. He didn't take it.
I would never allege that St. Thomas Aquinas was doing anything improper.
I would also say that if you had somebody take your SAT for you and they got an 1150, I would feel a little gypped out. You know what I mean?
That's my business decision.
Listen. I was trying to play college sport, and there was a sliding scale. I knew where my GPA was, and I knew what I needed on the SAT. Once I hit that the first time, I was like, I don't need this stress and anxiety for a second time. But Silk, my office. We have a 3-bedroom house, and where I am in, where you guys see me, is the office for maybe 8 more months, 9 more months. There are already baby clothes, bottles, diapers. I'm getting kicked out of my own office, and the CEO of our company, our family, has told me that the guest bedroom, which Dan has stayed in, it will also still be the guest bedroom. Don't know what the background will be for Stadium and Gale, you know, this time kitchen. Next year.
It's gonna be a kitchen, cabinets, stove. We're about to see the backdrop of your woman's office. I may get counsel for that.
I'll just be like holding my phone in front of my face, walking around the neighborhood.
I like that.
See that.
Yeah, it was like easier to cheat on SATs in our day, definitely. And I'm just saying that
allegedly.
From what I've heard. Yeah, allegedly. It was definitely
from what you heard, yeah.
Yeah, from what I've heard.
That's crazy, man. Well, it was a good weekend. Weather was crappy here, man. It finally started to get a little bit better, but this winter has been the dickens between the rain and the wind and the cold. Ready for it to warm up a little bit. Had a little
we're back cold here. We're back cold up here.
Yeah, it's a little chilly down here as well. I'm not gonna say chilly, but it woke up. I woke up cool, I would say. Yeah.
We've got lows in the 40s today. Loving it in Gainesville.
Spring football today. We got practice today.
Nope. I don't know why Billy likes to do this. They started spring last week. They practiced Thursday, they practiced Saturday, and spring break was like already started for the University of Florida. So, like the players, a lot of them finished practice on Saturday and immediately like went to Gainesville Regional Airport and got like out. So no football all week. Baseball will have 4 games, including SEC and FSU on Tuesday. But football won't be back until March. What's a week from tomorrow? March 19th.
Yeah. March 19th.
I don't like that, man.
I told Nick that if the Gators did not win their baseball series this past weekend, his weekly baseball segment was going to be shelved. The Gators ended up run ruling St. Mary's, but we'll get into more baseball here in a minute. We've got a big show. Appreciate everybody that is watching live on YouTube. Make sure you hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Let us know where you're watching from. Any questions that you may have, super chats, all of those things get pushed to the top. But before we get started, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Lucy. If you are looking for nicotine pouches, look no further than Lucy, which can deliver them straight to your door with free shipping. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco free. It's going to be anywhere between 2 milligrams all the way up to 12 milligrams. There's 6 different amounts that you can choose from. Mint, apple ice, espresso, wintergreen, mango. They have a berry one. All sorts of flavors for any palate that you want. Last week, Nick and I talked about mixing the espresso one while you're drinking coffee. I mean, truly elite.
That's a beautiful morning. Focus
there. That's a beautiful morning. That's what they talk about when they talk about the best of times. So, like I said, they will be delivered straight to your door. So go visit lucy.co/stadium for 20% off of your first order and free shipping with a 30-day refund policy. So again, that's lucy.co/stadium. We'll get 20% off of your order, free shipping, and 30-day refund. Fine print here. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age. Every order is age verified. Pardon me. Warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the show a little bit. Gators do start spring practice. They are in shells for these first couple practices. They're just in helmets for the first couple practices. Nick, give us a little bit of the highlights. Obviously, DJ Lagway making it onto the timeline, made for some outstanding lies to be spewed. Everybody's ready for an undefeated season. So, Nick, what can you give us from the football field?
Yeah, it's like I get it. I think DJ is a franchise type quarterback, so I get it. But like, I'm more interested in Miles Graham, honestly, because I think Miles Graham can be a freshman that like can start. But you know, DJ Lagway will get the clicks, as they say. I was interested in the numbers because I talked to Montrell, who didn't seem to have much interest in changing his number. I think he's worn two. I think he even wore two at Louisiana. I was like, man, what number is DJ going to wear? He couldn't make money off of his name, image, and likeness in Texas, but there was a lot of DL2 gear that I'd seen, you know, him and his family wearing. Mm. That might have been collecting cobwebs. So Trell gets the one. Justice Boone gets one. DJ gets to slide into his normal two. And I wanted to say this with – it's no shade towards the guys in number one, but, like, this coaching staff doesn't – care or subscribe to the history that you have. They don't. I'm telling you point blank period, they don't care who's in number one.
Okay, I think it's by design that Ricky Pearsall got it. Princess Kneeling. Oh, that's what he I'm saying. These are guys that are considered better players on the team. These aren't just like bum guys or random freshmen that are getting it. These are guys that we kind of expecting a lot from. While they may not, or they may, you know, throwing out that notion that they don't care about the number one, I don't think it's a coincidence that Ricky Pearsall and Umi Neelan got it. Do I think both deserved it? No, I don't think Princely lived up to the hype of number one. Ricky did. This year, I thought maybe Trey Wilson would get it. I know a lot of people think he wants to stay in that three. We'll see in the future. But I expected Trey Wilson to get it. But Montrell arguably is the leader of the offense. One of the top leaders on the offense, could be one of our best offensive players. And you look at Justice Boone, he takes up for Princey Umanilin, who left, probably going to be our best edge rusher. He gets it. We'll see if they both live up to the hype of it. But I'm not buying that they don't care about it or they don't put any emphasis on it. There's something there. I don't think these players are getting in and gravitating towards it for no reason. We'll just see. Like, sometimes you just got to shelf number one. If you don't have him on offense or defense, it's okay. Just leave it on the shelf until him arrive.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, like I agree with you. Like, hey, if we don't have a guy that should be like Dan Mullen came out and said, like, hey, if you want to wear that number, you have to be a baller. I think this staff, if you ask for it and it's available, they'll just give it to you. That's fine. Sure. It's just to them, it's just a number. They're not looking at what's the history of these numbers. And to a degree, like Steve Spurrier didn't subscribe to that. He came back to Florida and was like, why can't I give a player number 11? They're like, oh, that's your number. You won the Heisman, retired it. And he's like, no, that's stupid. We're unretiring numbers. Like Graham Mertz didn't want number 15. They just gave it to him. And when he got here, I'm like, can we stop giving quarterbacks 15?
They just gave it to him. So, okay, Graham Mertz, who was a veteran guy transferring over, started at Wisconsin, didn't care what number he was getting. I think there's some strategy behind giving him 15. I don't think that's just coincidental. A legendary number at the University of Florida.
Stop giving quarterbacks Tim Tebow's number. Like,
Dan, what do you think?
15 is Tim Tebow's number 15? At the University of Florida forever.
Could they just give you a number? Say you're the starting quarterback. Could they just give you a number, Nick?
Yeah, I'm on 69. Give me that number.
No,
yeah,
you're ridiculous. You're going to have a preference to a number. I don't think like Graham Mertz showed up.
Mertz has worn number 5 his whole life.
Yeah.
Would have liked number 5. And they're like,
who was number 5 on the team last year? Do we have number 5 on offense?
Naquan Wright was 5. That was in 21, though.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if he had a number 5 on the roster. Maybe, you know, it's also signaling a turning of the page for him, right?
They got to be trolling us to give him 15.
Yes.
But he's also got to want it. I don't think they're just handing players. This is not popcorn. No, they just give you a number and you run with it.
We asked Graham. We were like, hey, man, why 15? He was like, it was in my locker. When we started spring camp, he's like, I didn't know what number I was going to get. I've always worn number 5. 5 is kind of like a number that's like in their family. And Webb was 20 last year. He switched to 5 like at the beginning, which means that 5 was available.
Graham got here before Webb.
Traron Webb literally started the year wearing number 20. Like there are pictures of him in games on the sideline wearing number 20. He took 5 later on in the year. Like 5 is a number like in Mertz's family. I think he said his sister, who I believe plays volleyball, wears it. Like his dad wore number 5. Like 5 was like their family number. He was just given 15.
I was like, okay. So I know like DJ Lagway wanted number 2, which Montrell had. So I don't know if in the
Kanan Daniels wanted number 2 as well.
Who?
I think Kanan Daniels.
He's way down the.
I think his nickname is Deuce, so he wanted number 2. Sorry, but like you can't be the freshman walking into the running back room to a senior being like, hey, old head, hey, gray beard, give me that jersey, Debo style.
But I think Lagway pushed him off of that too in some of his recruitment. I'm pretty sure he said that how important the 2 is to him and he wanted that too. And if I'm Montreal, I don't think he's forced off of it, but if I could switch to another number, 1 is right there. It's legendary. Mm-hmm. It could help me in marketing in a whole lot of areas if I got that number 1 on. So I ain't mad at it.
I think that there's a little bit more to it than they make it seem. But I also think that they don't like the distraction. They also don't like talking about stuff like this. They feel like it's a waste of time. I don't think you just give the number 15 just because there happens to be a clean jersey sitting around. I think there might be a little bit more to it. I think there's probably a little bit more to it for Graham Mertz. It might mean a new number. You keep the same last digit. Maybe you throw something on there as a kind of a new change for you. There's a lot of players that will move schools and change numbers to some iteration of their old number as well. I think there's a little bit more to it. I think numbers are not just numbers to most of these kids. I think that there's usually a reason, Ahmad Black, you know, he talked about it on the show. He had a lot of players talk about it on the show that numbers they were given, but that's a number that they maybe kept with. That maybe is an odd number. But I think a lot of these guys are used to a certain number. They want to carry that over, and maybe it's a fresh start. They might add the 1 in front of it, but I don't think that this is all just happenstance and random because there's a little too much coinciding with numbers and players than just it being random, in my opinion.
Yeah. Any other number changes y'all didn't like? I like to see Abrams in 10. That looks good. Hawkins. Tank Hawkins, Dre, he's in 10. That looks good on him. Abrams came in. He's wearing 4. Seeing him get the lower digits.
Let me run through that real quick. So
I thought real quick, Dan. I thought that I've never seen a coaching staff send a message more clearly in my mind than Jamarcus Weston being moved, or excuse me, Jaquavion Frazier's, or no, Weston.
No, Weston being moved. You had it right.
From where in 82, they're like, hey, you're not going to play receiver anymore. You're going to play safety. All right, cool. Can I get a new number? No, 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 sir. 82 is yours. And then got moved. And then got moved to linebacker. Hey, man, I'm in a new room now. Can I get a new number? No, sir. 82 is yours.
But they don't care about numbers. Why not give him 99? Let him change his number if you don't care.
Then he got moved to edge. And I'm like, my guy, they have moved you in a calendar year from receiver to safety to linebacker to edge. Your position is gunner on special teams, which
– Yeah, he's number nine now, though.
Has his role. Yes, so
– He's just number nine.
I thought they were sending a strong message, being like, hey, man, we're going to move you until you move yourself to a new school.
But maybe he's graduating.
He has already graduated.
Oh. I don't like Weston in number nine. I seen that he's got to be respected.
He is.
Nothing to Weston. Nothing 6'2 to Weston.
6'2 and a half, 234 pounds as a defensive end. Defensive edge. Smaller than Arliss Boardingham.
Yep, he is a gunner on special teams.
All right, let's run through these numbers real quick. Justice Boone, we talked about, goes from 12 to 1. Montrell Johnson goes from 2 to number 1. Jamarcus Weston goes from 82 to number 9. New players on the roster this year. DJ Lagway will be 2. TJ Abrams, 4. Teddy Foster, 4. Miles Graham, 5. Taking Kamari Wilson's number there. TreQuest Bridges, number 7. Tank Hawkins and Pup Howard will be number 10. DJ Douglas is 12. LJ McCray is 17. Shamari DK is 17. Asa Turner, 20. Josiah Davis, 23. Jameer Grimsley, 26. Gregory Smith, 30. I don't know if I love the number 30, but Brian Taylor's 33. Deontre Robinson, 35. It's going to be a big 35 there. George Gums is 49, Mike Williams 55, Caden Jones 63, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon 65, Fletcher Westfall 68, Noel Portnajon is 74, Devin Manuel 79, Gavin Hill 87, Micah Boyro is 93, and Joey Slackman is 97.
Single digit, the freshman is different.
There is 1, 2, 3, 4 freshmen in single digits.
I'm telling you, like I'm with you, Silk. I think the lower the number is, like, the better the player. That's how it was even when we were in high school. Like,
they should just rank players 1 from 99 on how confident you are on their team. Can you just work your way up and down?
Like, everyone wants that small number, and there's prestige to it in the players' minds. I'm just telling you, this coaching staff doesn't see it that way. That number 4 is available.
Like a single Abrams number looks great. But a single number looks great, but I don't like the Gators uniform font for their numbers. Yeah, I think it looks better with 2 digits than it does single. Like, back in the day, it looked sick with that 1 or that, like, 8. And now you got the weird, awkward 8 there on the chest. I don't know. I think they need to do a little
No wish on that one, Dan. Them single numbers slap. We don't have a veteran-ass team either, right? Like, so – there aren't any upperclassmen that deserve these single-digit numbers that we're missing out on. So I can see you got to get the numbers to someone, like in the receiver room. Like, a lot of these lower digits are going to them. Like, who are the upperclassmen that you give these numbers to? You got guys like Marcus Burke, Jamarcus Weston, who's moved position 3-4 times. Who else, as far as the older guys? Trey Wilson doesn't want it. He's probably the biggest future. Mazzella already has 11. Andy Jean already has a single-digit number. So you got to give these numbers to someone. They probably was promised in the recruiting process.
Yeah.
But you got to respect the lower-digit numbers for sure.
Kanan Daniels is 21. He was on campus already. Trying to go through.
I like that for him. I like that for him.
I love Parker Lee, a running back number.
14. Fred, bruh. More should wear that number.
Just trying to go through here, see if there's anybody that we missed. I know we talked about it when the numbers came out before. Yeah, I think that that's kind of, I'll keep looking through this list. No need to waste time. Let's go through. They also released with that the muscle gains, fat losses, weight gains, weight losses. I know everybody looked at that that weight for Desmond Watson, 6'5", 464 pounds. They also said that he gained 23 pounds of lean muscle and is down 23 pounds of fat, which is a 4.9% fat decrease. But in terms of muscle gains, Desmond Watson, 23 pounds, George Gums, 16, Marcus Burke, 13, Josiah Davis, who definitely needed to put on weight, 10 pounds. So those are your top four there. Fat losses, Desmond Watson, 23, Micah Boyro, 20, Caleb Banks, 10, Marcus Burke, 10. Biggest weight gainers, Roger Kearney, up 17 pounds to 302. Cam Jackson up to 374. So he was up 14 pounds. Damian George up 12. He moved into guard from tackle. Aiden Mizell, who needed it as well, up 12 pounds to 182. Weight losses, Cam Waits down 15 to 350. Caden Jones down 14 to 336. Bryce Lovett down 10 to 325. And then Marcus Burke down 7 from 200 to 193. Anything else stick out to you guys about weight losses or weight gains or fat losses or fat gains?
I wanted to see Cam Jackson lose weight, not gain.
Yeah, so we talked to Tyler Miles, and he said that. He said Dez needs to lose weight. Cam needs to lose weight. Damian George needs to get stronger. And I think he needs to get stronger, even if he stayed at tackle. Now that you're inside, you're going against a different type of player. You're going up against defensive tackles that weigh 320. I think it's crazy. Like if Dez lost 100 pounds, he would still be like the biggest player on the team. And it's been a battle for him. It's been a battle for him for 4 years with his weight, and I think there's some stuff mentally that he has that he battles that is tied to his weight. So I don't want to stick on that too much, but like you've got a lot of resources at Florida, so we'll see. And I'm getting a lot of questions about like, hey Nick, how the guys look? Do the bodies look different? I'm like, they've been in a new strength program for 5 weeks.
It
does not look like a brand new team. They're doing a lot of the same stuff they were doing. They just have some different leadership. And also if you were expecting them to look crazy different just because the coach changed, you know, 2 months ago, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to switch the topic here for a second. So if you had a topic or comment on that.
Oh yeah. Weight gain. Do like that. Aiden Mizell gain weight, Cam Waits losing weight. Those are some good movement right there. Receiver room wise, I'm trying to think who else. I was thinking somebody else that I wanted to see weight gain loss from. I'm forgetting on that list, but, do like the weight gain from Aiden Mizell. Yeah. Linebacker room, the freshman. I know Nick came in and said that he liked the way Miles Graham looked and he could play as a true freshman. What is his weight like? And does he look the part, Nick?
He's listed at 222. So him and Pup Howard, I think both look good differently. I thought Pup was like he looked a little bit light up top. But like he has like his legs. What did Urban always say? Like you he wants guy. I think Urban Meyer always said he looked at guys like asses. It's like if they've got a good ass, Urban Meyer said that because it means like you've got like a strong trunk. You've got a strong core.
Well, that's what he said at the bar that one night too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He did. Maybe I'm getting my nights mixed up. But like Pup's got
huge. He's doing evals, Dan. He wasn't really flirting with
that's it. He's still recruiting is what he was doing.
Yeah.
Give us your ass report, Nick. Nick's ass report.
Well, and I think
breaking out ass film is crazy.
Yeah.
I backed myself into a corner here.
sure did.
Pup Howard has a very strong lower body. And I think his upper body is a little bit light. I think Miles Graham looks like a kid whose dad got him into lifting the second like his voice cracked.
Yeah.
Like Ernest heard like a voice crack, goes, oh, we're going through puberty now. We're gonna start lifting weights heavily. Miles Graham does not look like a freshman. Looks like he is very familiar with a weight room. I think that's a really interesting spot. Obviously, Shamar James is going to start. You've got a bunch of guys in that room. I like the depth in that room. But, like, do I think that Derek Wingo will start over Pub Howard or Miles Graham if those guys are who I think they can be? No. I really do think – I don't think R.J. Moten's going to be starting at linebacker after getting moved there from safety. So I really do think that you've got a chance to get a sophomore or a freshman starting or playing significant time at linebacker next to Shamar.
R.J. Moten is
linebacker.
I would love to have just a camera follow. I'd love to have just a camera follow R.J. Moten as he makes that transition to linebacker. Like, it's
why
that because that's not an easy transition. I'm gonna be honest with you. You gotta be a gangster. My high school coaches tried that with me my senior year. Right, we were small.
You were not a gangster.
No, I wasn't. And I actually moved back to DB and safety. Like, bro, I'm not trying to be in that traffic. We played against Vince Wilfork, and he's playing both ways, and he pulled and was I'm sorry, I didn't mean curse, but you talking about a whiff? You think Damian George is whiffing, bro? I laid down. Like, you got to be a gangster to get in that front seven and take on blockers and all of that. And I don't know if R.J. Moten is with that type of smoke. So I would just like a camera to follow him around doing, 707 drills, inside tackle drills, and see, his reaction to contact and violence in that front seven.
Nick, what did you see? I know you all only get limited amount of time there, but anything notable besides your ass report that we'll be looking forward to an update at each and every week? Anything else notable?
Tough. The cheek checkup once a week on Stadium and Gale.
I love it. Who's filling out the apple bottoms the best, Nick?
Yeah. There's some position groups that I'm going to really be looking at. Offensive line is one of them, but I don't pay attention to the offensive line until we get pads on. So offensive line, defensive line, I'm not watching them until there's pads on. There's no point. Safety, I think it's going to be Asa Turner, but I think there's some healthy competition. But I would put my money on Asa Turner.
I would put my money on Asa Turner transferring from the national champion, runner-up team to not a starter, sure. Right?
Yeah. Linebacker.
Especially after what I saw last year, Nick. Real quick on safeties. Dereliction of duty if you didn't at least roll him out there for game one.
Real quick on safeties. This is like Castell was out a little bit for injury, right, in the first couple of practices?
He had surgery. He had shoulder surgery after the season.
So he's going to be in black jersey all spring? Like, what's the
vibe? No, I don't think he will be. Now, I don't think he will be. Austin Barber had shoulder surgery. Older guys like Derek Wingo had another surgery. Derek Wingo, I think his next surgery is free with a punch card.
Yeah.
But a guy like Derek Wingo, like, hey, you're going into your fifth year. We know what you are, what you're going to be. We also don't need you to get hurt. We have some younger guys that we want to see. Jordan Castell, I don't know that he's in that category for me. It's like, no. Yes, we use you a lot as a freshman. We think you're a good player. You still have to develop. If you go back and cut on his film as highly as we talked about him,
for sure,
there's some tackling issues. There's some coverage 100%. Issues. Like, you're still developing. So unless – and when you're that young and you have surgery, like, hey, it's fixed. We're good. You're good. We don't need to put, training wheels on you. I still think if he – if there's not a high risk of re-injury, I think Jordan Castell needs to be, not in a black jersey during scrimmages and during team drills. Like, you need to tackle.
I'm curious how the DB room is repping out. So you got Bridges that came in, DJ Douglas, like,
who's they have them safety? Both with, well, it's tough when for ours. So, like, I know that Gates and Sharif are the guys they're looking at most at nickel at star. Right. I think DJ Douglas has enough tape that he can play that. And that he can play that. So you're probably just trying to get an Aaron Gates who spent most of last year in the pit coming back from his knee injury, and Sharif Denson, who was outside. You're trying to get them more reps inside. And it's like, hey, we know DJ Douglas is a fifth year senior. We've got 4 or 5 years of tape on him playing this position. We know what he can do there. We have to give these other guys reps. So I thought Traquez and DJ would be the guys there just because they're older. But also this is what the spring is for. Like DJ Douglas might be your starting nickel. And we won't see that in the spring because they know he can do it and they need to get these other guys reps. But right now it's Gates and Denson that are working there. And I think that's the order that they're working with Douglas and Traquez at safety. It just makes that safety room pretty crowded. If we're saying that, hey, Asa Turner will be the starter and Jordan Castell will play. I don't think you're, you know, doing the Todd Grantham hockey ice line shifts at safety where it's just like, well, it's the third drive, so we got to get the other two guys in now. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see that.
I think safety and D-line, I'm feeling hella confident at linebacker. I think that's going to work its way out, especially with the freshmen that we're bringing in.
Yeah.
Pop Howard coming in, Shamar getting back healthy. I think linebacker is going to be fine. Defensive tackle with Cam Jackson and Desmond both coming in overweight. I'm still concerned there. Do like Joey Slackman, but he's wearing a black jersey. What are you saying, Danny?
Yeah,
you about that too?
He tore his bicep
at Penn.
So had surgery to repair the torn bicep. Like when he was on his official visit, he was in a sling. Yeah. So like you knew that he was coming back. Torn bicep, super painful. But no, not concerned about that.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about him. I do like his addition. I think he's gonna be one of the ones. He's gonna get off. Pause. But I think defensive tackle is still, you know, got me a little concerned depth wise. I want to see how we, you know, we got some guys there that were young, but they got to pan out. And I think Kelby Collins is getting moved inside from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's more. I think he'll be more of an end than a tackle.
I keep hearing, just talking with Zach Carter and Gervon Dexter, everybody's saying that he's moving inside and they like it. But I'm hearing a lot of talk of him moving inside. That will bolster that room a little bit.
I mean, he's big, dude. He's 270.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that he wants to do that.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, it seems to me a little concerning about that D tackle room if you have to move him in.
Yeah, that's right? What me and Zach were talking about. Because he didn't want to do it his time as well, right?
Well, Zach knows it, and like, you're talking about money now. And when you see what defensive ends get paid versus what defensive tackles who aren't like the top five in the league get paid. Mm. Hey man, let me stay outside. One, like you said, so less traffic. If I'm a defensive end, I can line up 3 yards to the right of the left tackle and get a running start into him. And it's just more glory, you know, getting sacks and getting after the passer. Sometimes when you're a defensive tackle, your job is to hold a guard and let somebody else run around you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. You're not going to show up on the stat sheet very often. Those that do get paid, you know,
Zach Carter was very hesitant to move inside.
Yeah. He wasn't. He came in very lean as well. But I think like defensive tackle is the spot for Kelby. I think Kelby's going to be fine at that spot. I think he should move inside. Playing both is going to help him out with trying to get into the league as well.
Sure.
But just to wrap up that thought, down the middle is very important to our defense. We was weak down the entire middle last fall. Safety, linebacker, and defensive tackle. I'm still concerned about my defensive tackles and my safeties. I want to see Asa Turner and those guys pan out, but we're going to need some depth in those rooms in both of those spots as well. So want to see what that looked like in the spring.
Yeah, no, I'm cautiously optimistic about a few things. I think from an edge perspective, end perspective, we're in a good spot. Defensive tackle, just want to see improvement there. Linebacker, I think that there's a lot of talent. Obviously, Shamar James is an incredible linebacker. You bring in Pop Howard, you have Derek Wingo, you have some of these young guys coming in. I still want to see the development of those guys. Obviously, the maturation process for a freshman is going to take a while, right? So no matter how good Miles Graham is, you know, Brandon Spikes, one of the best linebackers at UF, took almost his entire freshman year to be able to be in a situation to be ready, right? So, you know, again, I think that there's a lot of talent. There's still some concern on my end. From a defensive backs perspective, I think, again, there's some talent, but I'm still concerned. I think that losing Jaden Hill's unfortunate. I think that he could have been a good piece there. You know, you hope to see some improvement from, you know, Jason Marshall from last year to this year. So there's just a lot of cautious optimism. Seems like the players really like Will Harris. He was out there getting tackled on practice number one. You know, I think adding Ron Roberts, I think adding some, you know, another adult in the room, if you will, is good. But, you know, again, until I see it, right now it's just a lot of names and a lot of prognostication and projection on what we think and hope. So a lot of these moves sound good. I think getting Justice Boone back will be really good for the Gators. Until I see it, I just have a little trepidation because the last couple years have just been pretty piss poor on defense.
That's how I feel at the skill positions on offense as well. Like,
same.
I think Arliss is a fine player. I don't know what Tony Livingston will be. I think Hayden Hansen is Jonathan Odom at receiver. I love Trey Wilson. But if you don't have anything around him, defenses can just take him out of a game. And you can scheme and game plan to get the ball in his hands as much as you want. But like in 2020, when Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts were there, Kyle Pitts gets targeted, goes out with a concussion. It's much easier to cover Kadarius Toney when you're not worrying about Kyle Pitts. It's much easier to cover Trey Wilson when you're not worrying about, well, what's Ricky Pearsall doing on the field? So it's pivotal that Florida finds another option at receiver not named Trey Wilson.
I don't think it's the problem is finding. I think it's finding the play calls to get the ball in those playmakers' hands. I think we got playmakers, man. I think we got guys. The running back room is going to make it easier for Trey Wilson on the young boys that we've seen some. And we got the transfer, Shamir, whatever his name is, Dyke, DK.
DK.
Him coming in. Yeah, DK sounds more appropriate. DK coming in, I think he's going to be a security blank. He has some chemistry with Graham Mertz. That's going to be very good and comfortable for the passing situation. Arliss Bordenham has showed some promise and athleticism, size, could be a good goal line target. But the young guys like Andy Jean, Aiden Mazzell, you got to find ways to get those guys active and into the offensive system. And that just comes down to creativity and offensive play planning and putting the offense together.
We've seen a lot of creativity. You're right. We should be
now, that's
pretty enthusiastic.
My concern. My concern ain't the playmakers. Yeah, that's my point, though, Nick. Like, my concern isn't the guys that we brought in. Like, we complain about not getting South Florida killers in here. But we got Andy Jean, a guy that the whole country wanted. Ohio State, you know, Georgia, Alabama, everybody wanted this kid. We land him. Didn't see a lot of him. He was injured. Aiden Mazzell.
The only South Florida kid.
South Florida kid. Correct. But he's a killer. You just got to find ways to get those guys the ball. Even the running back. I know we lost Trevor Etienne, but I'm feeling bullish on Jaden Ball, man. Watching that kid walk around, seeing videos and footage of him. 6'1", solid, 230. Like,
yeah,
and he could tote the ball, right? So it just
passes the cheek. Offense. Passes the cheek test.
Yeah. Big Nicki Minaj cheeks. You got some
BBL
BBL chicks. Yeah, some BBL cheeks on Jaden Ball paws. But yeah, he passes the Urban Meyer cheek test. We got playmakers. It's offensive design, creativity is being lacking a little bit, and we'll see how that all plays out.
I love it.
There's a lot. Like, I think Aiden Mazzell can be a player. I think Andy Jean can be a player. I just need someone to step up in that room. I agree with you. Like, DK did not have a good 23 season, but if you go back to the last time Graham Mertz was throwing in passes, had a productive year. And this is a guy that Graham Mertz was, you know, pounding the table for when he got into the portal, and he's telling the coaching staff, like, go get this dude. I know him. We have chemistry. It's a situation where, sure, he'll need to learn the playbook, but I know how he runs routes. I know if he's running a seven step in, I know exactly when his seventh step is coming and he's taking his break, and the ball will be there because we worked together for 3 years already. This isn't a new connection for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even with just go to that point, right? So much speed on this offense is crazy. Tank. Mm-hmm. Mazzell, like, these guys are burners, bro. Abrams, it's some real fast guys on this offense. You just got to get them the ball.
Yep. So that's where we are at. Any other takes from the first two practices that will then be abridged for spring break, and then back at it again.
The Lions season. Come on, Silk.
Lions.
Charge up.
I'm vibing until we get in pass a little bit, but I do have on offense my watch list of guys that I think just going to, you know, climb the depth chart a little bit during spring. I got Cam Waits on offense and Aaron Gates on defense. I think both of those guys going to climb the depth charts, like both of those guys, how they project. Cam Waits is going to be very important. He was injured last year, but his size and athleticism is there, but hasn't, you know, shown a lot on the field development-wise. So
seeing where do you think he slides in? Because I think right now, I think your tackle – well, he is playing tackle, but I think Barber and Crenshaw-Dixon are your starters there. I don't know if Cam Waits – you think Cam Waits can earn a starting job, or is he tackle three? Because, you know, there's not – most teams in the country don't have, hey, if our left tackle goes down,
I think it's
not
NCAA tackle three. I don't think they go after Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, who is a starter, who is a highly ranked starter on PFF.
In the Mountain West.
My man, injured right now, Barber, right?
Yeah, he had shoulder surgery in the offseason.
That's an opportunity right there. Yeah, that's what I see. I see, like, him being out, that's opportunity for him to challenge that starting spot. If he has a very good spring, he's bigger, think he's more athletic, but the reps just isn't there. The experience wasn't there coming into college. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think it's opportunity. He is offensive tackle three right now, but it's opportunity for him. And Barber was one of our better linemen last year, just to keep it a bean. Mm-hmm. But ceiling-wise, I think Cam Waits can make some strides this spring. Same thing with Aaron Gates. They both just dealt with some injuries last year. You got it. Who do you think may jump some people on the depth chart? Don't reach a little bit too. Don't give me the easy stuff. Reach a little bit.
Guard's going to be interesting to me. I have not seen it yet. I've watched the offensive line a couple of times, and again, they're not in pads, so I'm not paying too much attention to them right now.
Right.
I would like to see Rod Kearney back at guard, not starting over Damian George.
I would like him to start over Damian George.
Yes.
they are set on leaving him at center. Like, he is the starting center of the future.
Okay.
But I think that was the plan. And then all of a sudden Jake Slaughter shows up, and Jake Slaughter is a guy, like, if I was going to write a story like Now or Never, Jake Slaughter would have been in the Now or Never category before last year. Like, hey man, been here a while, haven't done a thing. Like,
never too late.
Time to make an impact.
Those Ocala boar hunters, Nick, they figure it out after a while. You know what I mean?
Probably hunting boars with just like a pocket knife. Kind of crazy little dude.
Probably with their bare hands.
Well, you need something.
And like a pencil tip.
Okay.
I can see it.
I'm an indoor cat.
I went boar hunting one time, dog, with my neighbor, Josh Cynical, back in like high school days, right? I had a pit bull.
Josh?
Shout out to my guy Josh. But he was, hey Corey, man, bring your dog along. I was like, okay, cool. So me and my dog hop on the back of the truck. Long story short, his dog got tore from the rooter to the tooter. And he spent like $8,000 stitching him up. Me and my dog never left the truck. When his dog got slaughtered, like, we stayed on the back of the truck. I held my dog very close to my heart and never let him get off the truck. Boars aren't to be played with. You gotta have a real dog that's going out to there. And the dog gotta know their role as well. Just some boar hunting. Figured out.
There's a
Dan. Dan, you think I would take Boomer out boar hunting?
Yes. Boomerang with that type of action, man. Your wife will leave you.
I saw him get run over by Norman. He's not ready for those walks. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You know what I mean? I forgot who it was. There's a former Gator player from like that 06 time that runs like a boar hunting company. Wasn't Tony Joyner. It was around that. Time
right now, not running much.
Joyner's in jail, you know what I mean? But
Joyner's running the ramen circuit.
He's running the yard.
There was somebody that does it. I forgot who it was. But anyway, let's see. Nick, you've mentioned, Silk, you've mentioned some names. Let's go through that. Non-contact jerseys right now. Austin Barber, shoulder. Justice Boone, knee. Derek Wingo, shoulder. Cam Carroll, knee. Keon Zipperer, knee. Both of those guys, actually, Justice Boone, Cam Carroll, and Zipper were all out all of last year. Zach Pyburn's got his knee issue. Joey Slackman has a bicep issue. Shamari DK has a hamstring issue. And then Bryce Capers, who's a walk-on, has a knee issue. So of those guys, Nick, I'm curious, Cam Carroll, I know a lot of people want to see what he's able to do. I know that it was a pretty gross injury that happened to his knee. Do we expect to see him this fall? I don't think we'll see Jack Pyburn or this spring. Sorry. We won't see Jack Pyburn this spring. Will we see Keon Zipper this spring? What's going on in injury world?
Yeah. I don't know that we'll see a ton of Cam Carroll. He really has not, through the first 2 days, has not done much, is with the running back group and not going through anything with them. Like Derek Wingo, Justin Spooner in black jerseys, but they're going through everything other than like tackling and an actual contact. Jack Pyburn's not there. I think he is on pace to like be ready for the fall, which is crazy. I mean, tore his ACL, in what, early November, quick turnaround or whenever that Arkansas game was. Cam Carroll not doing much. Keon Zipperer has been out there, but like just watching the tight ends as much as I am. So interesting.
Tight ends, man. And I mean, that's what Nick's thing is, you know, watching tight ends.
Watching.
Yeah. Keep watching. For the future, when Nick says I've been watching the tight ends, we got to know who he's talking about.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all smash that like button. It don't cost nothing to show love. Like, subscribe.
Yeah, lots of good chat about whether we should recruit players from South Florida or not. Fragrance Journey, appreciate you trying to find your comment. You're watching all the way from Dubai, so we appreciate you. Big Brett out there. Most shopped mall in the world, I saw, is that Dubai mall out there.
IG story. Definitely inspired me to go to Dubai. One last thing on the running back room. I know we're talking about Cam Carroll. We lose a guy like ETN. I'm excited to see what Treyon Webb does. It's very few times you get a guy that just diehard Gator fan. In this day of football, people are just chasing checks. They commit to schools just for business and all of that. But Treyon Webb was born to be a Gator, wants to be a Gator. So I'm excited to see what type of carries and what he brings to the table as a running back this spring.
Absolutely. No, I think he had a better than I expected year last year. I know that he's going to still work and improve, but I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he can develop to be a pretty complete back. Not saying that anybody's better than Trevor Etienne, not going to dog him. Just saying the Florida Gators running back room requires you to be a big pass blocker and you have to be a complete back in order to play. So I think that Treyon Webb could grow into being a complete back. He's not as fast. He's probably not as shifty, but we will definitely see his continued maturation over the years. So again, practice off this week. Won't have much to talk about practice on next week's episode, hopefully at least. And then we'll be back at it again for that spring game that's going to be in April. Silk, you mentioned, let's do a quick ad read. So go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Had a couple people reach out in the DMs and say they went and visited. Told them St. Miguel sent them. So we appreciate you guys going and do that. So again, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road near I-75 there. Anything that you'd want, polos, shirts for all of the different sports, tailgating accessories, grilling supplies, gifts from baby to grandparent, anything in between, you're going to find at Alumni Hall. So again, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road. Silk, you mentioned some position battles to watch. I think that's a good topic of conversation here. Safety, you have Asa Turner, Turquoise Bridges, and DJ Douglas for that potential free safety position. You have Jordan Castell and Bryce Thornton there as well. Who do you think the starters going into next year are?
Healthy, it's going to be hard to keep Jordan Castell off the field just from what he showed last year. Everybody got to do some developing. He didn't play excellent, but as a true freshman on the back end, safety is a hard position to play as a freshman. So I got Castell and Turner right now. But I would like to see some of the transfers that we brought in not be on the bench and be productive. So like the Bridges, the DJ Douglases that we brought in through the portal, hopefully they could provide some production as well. And we'll see what the competition looks like. You know, I know it just depends on how they like playing these guys. Because Nick was saying that they kind of got the notion that guys like Douglas, you know, they're very versed at nickel, and they may be okay at that spot, so they may not get a lot of reps. So it's going to be hard to project like who plays that spot. But I'm more concerned and want to see what the backup safeties look like. Is Bryce Thornton challenging for the starting spot? You know, and what Bridges look like. I think Bridges is going to be very good. I like his form and tackling from the drills that I've seen. Keep in mind, this is not full contact, full tackling. But from what I've seen on film and what I'm seeing in these practices, I think he's going to be a good downhill guy. A lot of our safeties, I want to see on the back end what they can do, mm-hmm. like when the ball's in the air, the range, you know, making plays on tip balls, overthrows. So many times on overthrows over all these years. I'm trying to remember the last overthrow I seen that was an interception or guys breaking up balls at safety on the back end. I just haven't seen it. No playmakers with range. So the tackling may get better with Will Harris, but I want to see rangy things happening when the ball's in the air.
Yeah, it's like it's probably not good for my business model, but like I'm not going to like overhype stuff or say that. Like I think
it would be that's the opposite of your business model.
It would be better
unless for me it's a tight end.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It would be better for me to be like, hey, I think these four guys are repping at, but like I'm just gonna keep it a buck with you. Like the spring is for developing. That's why you get a lot of cross training. That's why you get a lot of guys. Like I think DJ Douglas could be your starting nickel, but I don't think we're gonna see him a lot at nickel because of the reasons I said. Like, hey, he's got 4 years of film doing that. Let's get the guys. One, Aaron Gates like only started practicing halfway through the season last year, or probably last month of or last week of the first month of the season because of his injury. And Sharif Denson wasn't playing inside last year, so Florida needs to see what those guys can do if they're capable of playing there. You know that DJ Douglas can, so we don't need him to practice there.
I don't know if DJ Douglas can. He did it at Tulane, but this is big boy football. A little, it's different type of athlete. So I still want to see him in this defense. These coaches haven't coached him with their scheme, right? Like he may have done well in that defensive scheme, but with chemistry matters as well. Like football is such a team sport. Having guys at the position they're going to rep in the fall, getting some chemistry and communicating through those different spots, all of that matters. So I think they. Like in my opinion, if you're gonna play that guy there in the fall, I do think he needs some reps in the spring. In my opinion,
I think not the same position coach, sorry, Nick, but I do think bring Gerald Chapman over from Tulane, having DJ Douglas in from Tulane, they're obviously gonna have a connection. Obviously, different coaching staff, but maybe crossing some of those bridges together. Of this is what we did before. This is the terminology that we use. Allow him to adapt. Again, you know, maybe a little bit of a reach there, but it might be something.
If we're gonna have that outlook on DJ Douglas, then why are we giving like Brandon Crenshaw Dixon a pass? Like, okay, you were okay in the by PFF standards in the Mountain West, but like you got a whole different type of animal coming off the edge in the SEC than you ever faced.
But if he was repping at guard, if he was repping at guard and not tackle, then I'd be concerned. You know, like this spring he needs to rep at tackle to see if he can handle, you know, better athletes in the SEC, better athletes in our room and practice squad.
Yeah. And he's got more help around him, right? I'm not.
I'm not to his left.
To his right, he's got a tight end, right? So, again, this is all prognostication, right? You don't know. There was obviously something that PFF liked about him. There was something that this coaching staff liked about him, which I guess, you know, when you look at the unit itself, maybe there's a reason to have some trepidation, but I think overall you had to kind of look at everybody in a vacuum, and I don't know if it's fair to compare one player that's changing positions to another one that was 2,500 miles away. You know what I mean, Nick?
True.
You know,
Silk was talking about the ball skills in the secondary. So this episode has been
this episode's got to be rated R. We're gonna have to put the little E skills next to it. Yeah. Apple Podcasts is gonna take us off again.
It's no longer a family show, man.
Lots of comments in the live feed here. Play nice, everybody. Is a lot of you guys have watched for years, and we appreciate you guys. Just a quick update on boar hunting. It's Brian Crum, who's the boar hunter, not
No, Channing Crowder was down with whatever, though. Like, yeah, like
Channing Crowder like, will go out there with his bare
hands. Wrestle some gators in Lake Alice.
Yeah, need more players like that.
Let's
see. Casey told me a story about that. Like, Channing Crowder was like, no, definitely not hazing. Wink, wink. It was always if you want to, but like,
bring hazing
some, taking some freshmen down to Lake Alice early in the morning when the gators were out.
You got to bring hazing back. I think that's a better, you know, analysis of talent is the boar wrestling, alligator wrestling, than the cheap Urban Meyer thing. We need more boar wrestlers, bro. Like we need gangsters on this team. I can't wait for like. Let me shut up. Whatever.
Brian Taylor, new. the JUCO transfer. Nick, I know, kind of a late addition to the class last year. That edge room looks a little light in terms of number of people that they might expect to play there. Obviously, LJ McCray is the big five-star. Do you expect to see much out of Brian Taylor this year?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, again, you know, both lines of scrimmage I think are super important, but I'm not really watching them eat through the first four practices, because even when you get just shells on helmets and shoulder pads, I think we need to get full pads on before I'm really paying attention to the lines. I'll be interested to see where Brian Taylor plays. Do they leave him at edge? Is he playing more of defensive end? I think he's an edge guy, but like Jack Pyburn will come back. I think that room is really TJ Searcy, like TJ Searcy, Justice Boone. I think those are the two guys that will get the most reps, and then you're looking for depth.
Okay. Aaron Childs, Miles Graham. Who do you think has a better career at UF?
Miles Graham. I'll go with that. But like Aaron Childs is a dude. We have been told, Zach put it on Gators Online, that Aaron Childs is not the size of a incoming freshman. He is like an upperclassman built already. But they're planning on leaving him, or at least starting him. Who knows what the future holds, but starting him inside.
Yeah, Aaron Childs is going to be a gangster. That's a tough decision to make right there, because you 1A, 1B is how I project. Yeah. I think you're going to have two very good linebackers.
You got to pick one or the other. Who's your A and who's your B?
I got to pick one. Oh, shoot, man. I think Miles Graham is the popular decision here, and he's here. He's on campus earlier, but Aaron Childs is sideline to sideline, I think, faster. He looks more twitched up. I'm going to just go Aaron Childs just to be go against the grain a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to go with Aaron Childs too. So just go a little bit against the grain. I was very, very impressed with him, what he became his senior year. And then in that all-star game that he played in, looked really, really good in that game. But I think both are great. I think both of the linebackers at the University of Florida should be recruiting. So hopefully that kind of trend continues. Speaking of recruiting, the Gators grabbed Enoch Wangoy. Wango, Wangoy. He is from Zarapath Academy in Jacksonville, Florida, 6'8", 265 pounds, offers from Florida, Auburn, and Syracuse. He's unranked right now. So it will be interesting to see what he develops into. A former rugby player and basketball player, originally from Great Britain, has been in the United States back for 2 years. Has been living in the United States now for 2 years. So, any thoughts on the get there? The Gators right now have the number 13 overall recruiting class.
Like the athlete, he's definitely an athlete. Basketball players that's coming to play football, love that. Rugby, show some toughness. I want to see how he goes up in the rankings as he camps and do his offseason shenanigans. If he soars up, what his offers look like right now. They're saying that Syracuse and Auburn was his other two Power Five offers. The complaint I've been having, the offensive line recruiting is still the same. Too many projects. Well, I do like this kid's feeling and what he could be, and we'll see how he projects towards the end. Still early in the rankings and stuff, but we need more fine-tuned guys in the trenches, man. and guys that are ranked higher. The ranking still is what it is. I know, and the offensive line is a developmental position. All of them are, but offensive line more so is, especially coming out of high school. It's hard to see what these guys are going to project to be. But I want to see higher ranked guys, man. They need to recruit better in that spot. But I do like
his team, like,
what he could be.
I think, you know, like seeing Syracuse now with Fran Brown, with him coming from Georgia, I'm going to not, you know, like when in the past I would have seen, oh, it was a Syracuse offer. And I think at least now until I'm proven otherwise, I'm going to look like, okay, I trust Fran Brown and those evaluations. So if Syracuse is a school now, I think at least for me, I'm like, okay, maybe that's someone to look
at. But do you trust those evaluations for where Syracuse is, right? Where you have to dig a little deeper, right? Like obviously Syracuse can go and offer the top 50 offensive linemen in the country. They're probably not going to get any else. So you have to dig a little bit deeper. Not saying that he's not a good quality player. I haven't seen any football film on him. The only thing that I've seen on him is that he got a double-double when he was with the Manchester Magic and Mystics Academy in Great Britain, which to me sounds straight out of Harry Potter, but I haven't seen any.
Mischief managed.
Dude, Manchester Magic and Mystics Academy? Like, what? I don't even know what that is. But he does have an 86 and a quarter inch wingspan, 35 inch arms, which is
a condor.
Yeah, which is huge. But again, I haven't seen much on football. But that's the only like take that I would have on Syracuse. Not that I don't trust Fran Brown. I think that he is absolutely knows what he's doing as a head or as a coach. But that would be my one caveat to that.
It's still March too, as well, right? Just got
in. That's also my thing. Like it is March.
Yeah.
Like so I think
he'll get more offers as this plays out. If he's any good, if the offers don't go up, then I'm gonna judge this a little bit harsher. But I'm not going to be quick to judge his offer sheet right now, being that it's March. And we could be ahead of the curve. Let's see how it all plays out.
Keith Niebuhr reported on the Gators Online message board that per his sources, that he's in the mold of Lucas Simmons, who the Gators were after, that went to Florida State, and Favor Edwin, who ended up committing to Auburn. Both guys from overseas. I do like his rugby experience. I like his athleticism. I like his footwork. Obviously, it's required for basketball transfer over to the offensive line. But without much film from a football perspective, tough to give an accurate judgment there. But the Gators, like I said, do rank number 13 on the On3 rankings with 5 commitments, 3 4 stars, 1 3 star, and 1 unranked player.
Right. What does he play at in high school? In Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, he plays for a school that I've not heard of called Zaire Path Academy.
Left the Quidditch pitch at the Ministry of Magic.
Dude, the Manchester Mystics and Magic Academy is possibly the most ridiculous school name that I've ever heard in my life.
How dare you?
If somebody put on their resume that they're a graduate of high school, the Manchester Mystics and Magic Academy...
Of the list. First
bottom of
first the track. Resume I'm looking.
No
first
offense,
resume I'm looking are, at.
No, no.
My guy's putting up double doubles on the Quidditch pitch, and you're over here hating.
I'm not hating, Nick. Just hating. I mean, I think the school needs to go through a rebranding. You know what I mean? The you know, J.K. Genius. Rowling isn't necessarily loved by the people anymore. Maybe maybe it's time to drop the Mystics and Magic and go to primary school or whatever they call it. So, all right. So let's see here, Nick, give us the update on, baseball. Gators lose a couple, win a couple.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Florida's got some issues, on the mound. 11 of their 18 guys, pitchers are freshmen. So I was more worried about them hitting the wall, let's call it like May. Late April, May. It's like a 62 game schedule that they play in 93 days. So it's a lot of baseball, more than a lot of these 17, 18 year olds, even from the state of Florida, where you're playing a lot of baseball, travel ball, high school travel ball. It's just a long season. And these guys didn't just start in February. They started in October, and they do scrimmages 4 days, 5 days a week, starting in October. So it's a lot of throwing. But the freshmen look like freshmen, and it's been a major issue. Even Cade Fisher, Friday night guy has not been sharp to start the year. Liam Peterson, we spoke to him on Saturday. He's a guy who I thought was and still think will be really, really good at Florida. Has not looked good in his last two starts. So Florida's got to figure out ways to or guys who can who they can trust because there's 300 Division I baseball teams in the country. There's only two of them, two programs that have yet to lose a game, and you're going to play both of them this week. Florida State on Tuesday in Gainesville, and then Texas A&M, who I think I would need to look it up. I didn't look it up this morning, but they entered the weekend with the number one ERA in the country. So huge test for Florida this week. SEC play starts 30 games over the next 10 weekends. So huge. Florida's got a lot to figure out. It will be interesting to see what they do with Jack Caglione. Jack is cementing himself as a top 3 to 5 pick in the MLB draft. He's hitting a cool 424. Best pitching we've seen from him over his last two weekends. I wonder if they will move him, start to move him to a Friday role. Now it's too much to ask him to pitch this Sunday and then pitch on short rest and pitch Friday. I wonder if they would move him, have him pitch Saturday against A&M, and then you move him up another day so that when Florida goes to LSU the following weekend, if by that point he'll be your Friday night starter. But quite frankly, Cade Fisher, I'm not saying anything that Cade Fisher wouldn't tell you. He has not been pitching SEC Friday night quality.
I'm going to run through some stats here, Nick. I just pulled up about 9 pitchers right now with an ERA above 5. Cade Fisher, who you just mentioned, 16.2 innings pitched, has allowed 22 hits, 16 runs, 14 earned runs. Not ideal. Poor Hunter Jones on the roster has a 99 ERA.
He'll get back. Yeah, well, he won't pitch anymore.
Oh, very good.
No, he was a freshman who I didn't think was going to pitch very much. To begin with, he got a shot. It didn't go well.
Not retired,
but a guy that they knew was going to have to develop.
Right.
Local boy from Ocala.
Oh man, not a boar hunter though. Maybe he's just a long developer. Maybe like Jake Slaughter. Maybe in 4 years when we're having this exact same podcast, Hunter Jones will be throwing 1.80 ERA. But Blake Purnell 12.46 ERA. Brandon Neely a 9. Cade Fisher 7.56. Liam Peterson 5.06 ERA. So definitely have to get some things in order, like you said, FSU this weekend or this week, and then Texas A&M
That was the issue. We're asking Sully, like, hey, what are you going to change your weekend rotation? He's like, with who? He's like, nobody is pitching well. So there's not an answer okay, well, so-and-so is struggling and we can replace him with this guy. It's like everyone they're trying right now is having a blow up inning. Blake Purnell's a guy who 2 years ago was like the Rolaids relief man of the year, was just nails, was fantastic when you come out of the bullpen. Just getting hit when he comes in now. So I think it's been so bad this first month, if you just regress to the mean and these guys end up where we thought they were, then that means they're going to be fantastic. Now you'll probably get a mix of that because they are freshmen. Some of them sophomores. The big thing Florida is saying is, listen, they're not freshmen. They've pitched innings. They've pitched in front of crowds now. So there's not an excuse of they're freshmen, but at the end of the day, they're still 18, 19 years old in college baseball because of COVID. They're pitching against guys who are now 23 and 24 years old. St. Mary's had a lot of seniors in that roster, in that lineup. And you go from dominating everybody at your age group to now playing guys who are 5 years older than you in some cases. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't think that you'll change the names on the weekend, but I think you'll see the names kind of shift and roles start to change. This first month of the season is about getting opportunities and earning your spot. And I think guys have either pitched their way to the bench or are going to be asked, hey, you're not doing what you need to do, but we still have to count on you. You got to figure some stuff out. Get back in the lab.
Quick question, Gangsta Cags, man. You saying he projects high for the MLB draft? Like, are they gonna prior? Do you think they prioritize, or how do you think his batting projects for the majors?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that the MLB teams will look at, and that's a good question. Big baseball guy, so great question. What MLB team will project him as a two-way player? There is now, a case study in Shohei Ohtani, but is he a unicorn, or is that something you can do? You're probably seeing it with Harlem. You have to specialize. Like, the days of whatever season it was on the calendar was what we were playing. Like, that's over. Kids are now specializing in a sport, and then even inside the sport, you're not seeing two-way guys. Like, Travis Hunter is now a unicorn playing corner and receiver. You don't see that. So I think an MLB team will draft Jack and let him pitch and hit, but at some point you're going to have to specialize, and they'll say, you know, which one do you want to do, or which one do we want you to do? So
what do you think? Hitting?
I think he has gotten so good defensively. I'm starting to lean towards hitting. But what he's doing on the mound now, fantastic. To me, I think he's a guy that can hit you 30, 40 home runs and play a really solid defense at first base. So it probably depends on the team that he goes to, though. But right now you're looking at like him, Charlie Condon. There's a pitcher from Wake Forest. I'm blanking on his name right now, as like the best three guys in college. I like the season that Jack is having on the mound right now, the way he's commanding the strike zone and pitching, better than I thought he would, you know, through the first month of the season.
Yeah, his whip is a .87, 27 strikeouts on the year, just 3 earned runs allowed, just 5 total hits and 15 innings pitched, 1.8 ERA. From a batting perspective, slugging a .683, 27 hits, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs.
His OPS
is a 1.203. So him, Colby Shelton, taking care of the offensive side of the ball. He's taking care of pitching. The rest of the team needs to step up. Nick, any other final thoughts on baseball?
Well, one more on Jack. And it's interesting because, like, Wyatt Langford, once you have the year that they had, like their sophomore years, you get pitched differently now. Jack and Wyatt, both of them, like, still not striking out. I think Jack's got 5 or 6 strikeouts on the year versus a guy like Colby Shelton, who leads the team in home runs, but also leads the team in strikeouts.
So 5 to 15.
I think it's really impressive when you start seeing less good pitches to hit, to remain patient and take your walks, which gets frustrating because you want to be hitting home run. You're coming off a year where you just broke the home run record, national home run record. So just to see Jack, who I think has been immature, he's hard on himself. He lets, you know, one mistake roll into another. To see him mature, just take your walks and not get frustrated, not start chasing stuff outside of the zone. I think that's also something that's really impressed me about his approach this year.
Yeah, 11 base on ball, second on the team behind Luke Heyman there. So Gators play FSU. Is that game in Gainesville? Where's that game at?
In Gainesville.
Okay.
Tuesday night in Gainesville. I don't know who's going to throw for Florida. I think he'll be a freshman. I would start Alex Philpott. Luke McNeely has really, really struggled on Tuesdays. Yeah. And FSU can hit. I don't know who FSU will throw. I think I'll probably find out later today. But FSU can really, really hit. Kevin O'Sullivan has dominated Florida State and Miami. But if Florida pitches the way they have on Tuesday nights, it's going to be a long night for the Gators.
All right. Alex Philpott right now, 2.57 ERA, 1.14 whip. Is a win-loss record of 2-0, and opponents are batting 0.1 or 0.188 against him. So 188 batting average for them. So the Gators will play FSU, play Texas A&M. Gators basketball ends the season on a frustrating loss. I know that there's a bad call at the end of the game, a bad foul call. Gators should have never been in position to lose that game for that call to matter, but the Gators do lose to Vanderbilt by one. They will get a bye in the SEC tournament, which starts on Wednesday. They will play the winner of either Georgia or Missouri. The Gators beat both of them this year, including a 4-0 record against Mike White over the last 2 years. So that game will be on Thursday, and it will take place 25 minutes after the conclusion of the Texas A&M Ole Miss game, which starts at 7. So get your espresso ready for probably a 9:30, 9:45 tip off, which to me, for an SEC geographic area, seems like quite a late time to start a game. But that's just me being old and complaining.
Yeah, I won't get home till like 8 o'clock, so that's perfect for me. That Vanderbilt game was just sloppy. 16 turnovers. There's a lack of getting out rebounded by a smaller team. That's not how you want to see the season end. But it could be a wake up call before the tournament, you know. But then like, the officiating is the officiating, but rebounding and turnovers, that's just focus and effort right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vanderbilt discipline is not a great program this year. I know it's a tough place to play. They've got that raised floor. I know it's awkward from a shooting perspective to get used to, but definitely a game that the Gators should have won. That is okay. They will be back on the court on Thursday, so you can go and root them on. Right now, they are projected around a 5 seed. There's an opportunity to maybe move up to a 4 seed with a good run. Also an opportunity for them to be maybe a 6 seed there as well. So we will be watching for that game on Thursday and hope for a good run there for the Gators. Any final comments before we go to quick ad raid and then head out of here?
No, I'm good.
Appreciate everybody for watching. There's been a fantastic chat going on this entire time. So please make sure you hit the like button.
Bro, Tawan's throwing hands.
Yeah. Tawan's giving his resume, his brother resume, his dad resume,
grandfather's resume, everything.
Yeah. Shout out.
And been a hell of a show. As always, go support our friends over at Home Field Apparel. If you're looking for vintage logos from the University of Florida, about 100 different colleges, go check them out. They've got about 20 different shirts, sweaters, I think a quarter zip even on there. And they've got a cool starter jacket looking product as well. So go check them out. That's homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, at checkout. You get 15% off of your order. Great products. They always do big promotions during March Madness. Heck, maybe you're a fan of that Indiana State guy that wears those goggles. I forgot. They're calling him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. maybe that's hilarious. All of you. Haven't seen that. Go check them out, homefieldapparel.com.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oh, my God. I mean, that's hilarious. Hilarious.
I saw that, speaking of nicknames, Sean White converted to Muslim, and they were calling him Louis Farrakhan, like C-O-N, yesterday. I thought that was... The internet and Sean White just aren't on the same page often. But anyway, go check out Home Field Apparel. Go check out Alumni Hall. Go check out Lucy.co for your made or your delivery nicotine pouches. Song of the week, I think, is me. So I think it's me. My favorite country music band is a group named Shane Smith and the Saints. They had their first album out in 5 years. They have a song called Fire in the Sky, which is a good one. I think you guys all enjoy it. It's an upbeat, heavy fiddle, heavy steel guitar. A lot of good stuff there. So we'll play that one out as we go. Appreciate all of you guys for joining, and we will see you all next week.
But I dream that way sometimes. my breath till I suffocate. In a time and place in my mind, will I ever see your face? Will I ever hold you again in this life? Have you ever in your mind dreamed as far as a fire in the ocean or a highway to the stars? I can dream, babe, I can dream. Stars, I can dream my way back to your arms.